This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Hiro Goto. And you are listening to the New Japan Broadcast.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, February 11th, at the time that we are recording this. And Damon, boy, do we have a lot to talk about on today's show. Of course, we are going to be reviewing the New Beginning in Osaka show, which took place yesterday, February 10th. Lots of great matches to talk about there. And we have a show to preview, of course, the New Japan Road Show coming up this Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day here in the States. I was saying to Damon before we went on, you know, what a romantic evening to sit down with the missus with a, you know, a nice Chianti and load up the NJPW world, watch some New Japan Road. I can't think of a more romantic time, personally.
Wow. I tell you, you're setting the mood, Colin. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking of it. And I'm sure all the spouses and you know, listen, we have a lot of female listeners as well. So maybe the boyfriends or the husbands who maybe not be a fan, maybe they can, you know,
Maybe the single ones that are a fan of Colin Miller.
Well, there's nobody there.
Oh, come on now.
I'm kidding.
Have you ever seen me in person? Good Lord.
Who, you in person?
Yeah. Handsome. Yeah. Ugh.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, look. whatever. A personality goes a long way, Colin. Look, it's a wonderful time of the year. I usually say that about the Dome, and I usually say that about G1, but it's exciting because there's a lot of news things, a lot of things to talk about here on this show, a lot of ramifications from New Beginning in Osaka, and I think overall this show was a thumbs up, right?
I thought that between the three New Beginning shows, as far as consecutive really good matches, this one was by far the best of the trio.
Yeah. I mean, I think we had ourselves a blow-away main event.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was stellar. I really did.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, again, we're just skimming the surface here, but opening thoughts. You know, look, in a main event, see, this is where I kind of lose my shit a little bit when people start yapping about, oh, Superman booking and what, you know, Why does Okada always have to win? Why would you change anything? Because you can't hold your attention span for more than a month? Come on.
Right. When you have a successful, financially lucrative direction
right.
that you're going in, like, why would you alter a thing?
He's giving you everything that you could ask for in a pro wrestler, right? You're getting main event quality. Let me take that back. You're getting New Japan main event quality and a bar that is constantly raised. You're getting a person who, you know, business hasn't been better since the 90s. You're coming off one of the biggest gates. And again, we've talked about the pluses of Omega and Jericho. We've beaten that horse to death. But why change? Don't change, as NXS would say.
Well, you know what it is, Damon?
What's that?
I think that we as pro wrestling fans sometimes tend to forget that at the end of the day, this is a business, and they're about selling tickets and putting asses in seats, as the old cliche goes. And, you know, some pro wrestling fans, they just, you know, like you said, the attention span thing. They just want something new constantly. every month.
I like Sonata, right?
I love Sonata.
But there's no fucking way you're putting the title on him right now.
No, that would be stupid.
It would be ridiculous. And I love the, again, I harpen, whatever. Whatever, you know. We just make up words.
Harpen for Valentine, you know, Cupid plays the harp Valentine's Day, see?
Yeah, I like it. It's still a tie. I like the fact, how about we just say that? I like the fact that not everyone can be the world champion. That's great to me.
Well, that's why they have 10 singles titles, Damon, so everyone can hold the title.
Well, right. I mean, if that, I mean, that's, well, listen, that's partially true. Let's be truthful. But you know, when you go through that, you know, when they have championship matches and they run that video package, I mean, there's only a handful of people on there. You know, 10, what is, I don't even know what the number is, but, you know, it's not a lot. It's not everybody on the fucking roster. That's a good thing, because when they do make the change, my God, how special is that going to be? And here's the thing. It's going to be a special person. I don't think it's going to be somebody like a Sonata who, let's be truthful, is not ready for that yet. He's not. I mean, those are big shoes to fill,
right?
Whoever beats Okada. That's big shoes. Now, again, was Naito that guy? That, again, we talked about it and we debated it, and listen, I could see the points.
I get
right?
the argument,
absolutely, without question, right? But okay, they're going to go with the hand that's feeding them. That's cool. I'm good with that. Now I will say this in the same breath. While again, I don't know if there were many people that were seeing Sonata beating Okada. I think the promotion, New Japan as a whole, I think the announcers, Kevin Kelly, Donnie C, everybody did a great job. And again, the booking leading up to this, everybody did a great job of getting Sonata in a spot where there were moments in the match where you're like, whoa, are they going to fucking do this? Like, are they going to make this swap? Are they going to, you know, is this really going to happen?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because a lot of times when I'm watching these shows and I have my review cap on, a lot of times I'll be thinking about comments that I want to make on the matches as I'm watching them. And one of the comments that I had early on during the match was, at no point did I think that Sonata had a snowball's chance in hell of walking away as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. However, boy, did they do a hell of a job at changing my mindset, because there were plenty of awesome near falls in this match where Okada got his shoulder up at the last millisecond that made me verbally gasp.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up either.
No, I mean, me too. There were, like I said, I'm sitting there watching this show and I'm thinking, oh my fucking God, are they going to, you know, there's a good, you know. And that's the best you could ask for in that scenario. You know, you take us jaded jerk-offs, right? you know, we're going into it thinking, all right, well, there's not going to be a title change here. I mean, I can't possibly fathom it. And can that remove your enjoyment of a match a little bit if you feel that way? I kind of feel like it can, right? If you kind of know that there's no way this is happening, right? So I do understand that, but the best thing that they could do, and again, the best thing that they did during this match, and again, this is everybody's work going into that. This is, again, the guys in the ring, Red Shoes, deserve some credit on this too. The people who produce these video packages, Kevin Kelly. I mean, the list is long.
Red Shoes is the absolute best in the business at doing that. Is he going to tap out spot?
Yeah.
Nobody does that better than he does.
And again, that tap out spot, I thought, was very well done. Very well done. I mean, there's something to be said about a guy fighting out of something like that. And then, you know, you feel like, oh, he's got, and then, no, he gets dragged out in the middle again. And he wraps his leg. Sonata wraps his leg, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? How are they going to get out of it? You know, this is a predicament here. So, no, I think, I guess my point being is that I was hoping for a great match, and I was hoping for those elements where for a couple of seconds you're taking me out of my element and making me believe that it could happen. And that is the that's great.
And I think that they successfully accomplished that because, hey, I'm as jaded as the next pro wrestling fan. And like I was saying, I was verbally prepared to get on here and say, hey, I'm sorry, but at no point that I think Sonata was going to win. And like I said, these guys quickly turned the tables on that one and gave me personally a very dramatic matchup. So yeah, stellar match. We're going to talk more about it. I think what we should do now is go to the beginning of the card, however, because we've got a lot of ground to cover here today, Damon. So why don't we stop from the bottom, work our way up here on this New Beginning in Osaka card, and kick it off with opening match.
What's sold that? Out show, right? Sold out show.
Yep, sold out show at the Edeon Arena in Osaka, of course. one quick comment I wanted to make on the presentation, the stage setup. I kind of got a kick out of how the guys had to walk up the stairs to make their entrance. You know what I mean? That's kind of
right funny. In the middle of the ramp. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Which led to a weird scenario too that we'll talk about.
It's like they were in the basement, you know, chilling.
Right. Yeah. There was no hydraulic lift bringing the wrestlers to the ramp. No.
They did for Sonata.
Yeah. But did it? Oh, really?
Yeah. I could have sworn he came up through a hydraulic lift, but the majority of performers just walked up and down the stairs.
Like up the basement steps.
Right. Going down the cellar.
I got to go check the water heater.
Right.
The pilot light went out. Michael Elgin, can you check it for me?
This goddamn furnace.
People shoveling coal in it. God damn it. It's freezing in here. Taguchi. I don't know why Taguchi would be in charge of the coal. But,
right. Why not? I mean,
listen, he's got nothing better to do, right?
Right.
But although he did have a little bit of an embarrassing evening this evening.
He did.
You know what spot I'm referring to.
I believe so.
All right, we'll get there in a minute. All right. Yes, it was weird. All right, so first match, kick it away. Kick it off. Kick it somewhere, Colin.
First match, the continuation of the Kitamura 7-match trial series. This time, he was trying his hand against none other than Yuji Nagata. First of all, I need that new shirt that Yuji Nagata has, the pirate shirt.
Yeah, it's a cool one. You dig that one?
Yeah, I do. I do dig that one. You know, two of the things that Yuji Nagata does best is he slaps the shit out of you, right?
Okay.
And he kicks the shit out of you. And he successfully...
these are two great traits to have to be a human being. Yes.
They are, really, especially in the world of New Japan. And I believe that he successfully executed both of those traits against young Kitamura here in what was a very good 10-plus minute opening contest.
That's the thing. I thought they gave them plenty of time. I like the way this match was structured in the sense of, yes, it was kind of the old, you know, New Japan dad, I'm going to slap the living shit out of you, and let's see if you're tough enough to take it, kid. Yeah, I like that. And, of course, you know, there were moments where Kitamura was, you know, not only fighting back, but maybe even getting the better of it. But toward the end, you could see how he petered out, right? So he was full of piss and vinegar in the beginning of the match, but as the match wore on and as Yuji Nagata kind of wore him and wore him and wore him and wore him and wore him, it felt like Kitamura just, I don't want to say ran out of gas, but almost ran out of gas, right? And then it's the slap exchanges that Nagata got the better of, and then away we go to the armbar.
It's because he's carrying around all that muscle, Damon. It's exhausting, you know?
But here's the thing. Like, you would think that would be the case too, right? Like a guy like Kitamura has to finish a guy off. And
really?
But you know what I mean. Not like that. he's like, what? He's got to finish him off early, Colin. Right?
Right.
He doesn't have the build let's get at our Pro Wrestling Illustrated, everyone. He doesn't have the build to be able to go a 20-minute, 30-minute, 40-minute match.
No,
right?
he is a spear jackhammer kind of guy, and that's and what I, like I dig that. About him.
Yeah, okay, and that's what that's his strengths, right? Those are his strengths. So for him, and it, you know, it just kind of made sense in the way the match was laid out, where he's got the upper hand maybe a little bit in the beginning, but again, Nagata being the crafty veteran that he is, you know, he's gonna gas him out, and he's going to outstrike him, which he did, and almost sucker him in to you know, play off of his hot-headedness, you know, suckered him into, okay, a little slap exchange that you're not going to get the better of, and now you're out of gas, and now it's an arm bar, and now the bell's ringing.
Yep, so backdrop like suplex, one, two, three.
Yep, loved it. So, yeah, and that suplex was really good, wasn't it? I mean, and I like how Kevin Kelly always made mention of, you know, there's nothing wrong with losing, right? These matches are for him to gain experience. But in the same breath, it's like, you know, there's been many people that have lost to that same suplex. So nothing to be ashamed of, but, you know, it is what it is. He's an oafer in these series, right? He has not won a match.
He has not won a match. And I also loved how Kevin Kelly gave us the big shout out. I don't know if you heard that.
I did. He gave it to us and the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Uh-huh. Yep. He said that Colin and Damon have been talking about this best of seven series. Yes, we have.
We absolutely have, Kevin.
Yes, we have.
And we'll continue. Yeah, you know what? I like it. I like the idea of it.
Was this the best match, by the way, so far? Out of the best of seven series, I think it may have been. Then again, though, you know what? This did tell a different story than a lot of the other, than the Elgin match, for instance.
Right, and that would be the other one I would put up there. It's really between this and the Elgin match. It's probably the better of the two, but I think the Elgin match was a little bit more flashy. Like the Elgin match felt like it was more two beefy muscle guys doing some big beefy muscle guy moves, right? Whereas I just like the way that this match was structured and the setup and the delivery of it. I felt like it was a more complete pro wrestling match. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. And in case you didn't get enough of Kitamura versus Yuji Nagata, they will be meeting each other again in the context of a tag match on this New Japan Road match. Damon, guess who Kitamura is teaming up with?
I'll say Oka.
No, he's a dad.
Oh. Nakanishi.
No.
Fuck. Tenzan.
Yes. Oh, Kitamura will be teaming with Tenzan to take on the team of Nakanishi and Nagata.
All right. Pride aside, and I don't mean Pride Fighting Championships.
Is that still around?
I'm not talking about Don Fry Takayama. I'm talking about pride as in personal pride. Pride aside. Now I'm rhyming. Why in the blue fuck would a guy like Tenzan get in the ring anymore?
I don't have a real good answer for that. Pride is the only answer.
And that's good. Pride is good, but what was it? What movie am I thinking of?
Fuck Pride,
right? You know what I mean? Marcellus.
Big Rames character. Yeah. Marcellus Wallace.
So, you know, look. That ankle is shot to shit. There's no reason he should be in this tag match. It really isn't. He should be getting surgery for that fucking ankle. But hey, look, he's a very prideful gentleman, and I don't know. I just think you're doing more damage to your ankle than anything else at this point. There's no benefit to seeing Tenzan in the ring, is there? Like, is anybody like you could say that I really like Tenzan, or you know what, I really loved his work, or you know what, his run as IWGP Heavyweight Champion was great, and something I'm down with all of those.
He led New Japan through the dark ages.
Yeah, okay, I'm down. Give me a reason why he should be in the ring right now.
Again, I can't. Right. Because there is none, really.
And I'm not shitting on the guy because he is a legend. And he has done all those things that we talked about. In a tag match, in a meaningless fucking tag match, he's got to be in there?
Well, again, it is a tag match. You know, he's teaming with Kitamura. It's Nakanishi in there. Nagata can take care of everybody. it's not that. It's not like he's in a singles match, you know.
Colin, I guarantee you he tears a ligament in his ankle taking a shit at this point in his life, right?
Listen, you're probably right.
His ankle fucking snaps in half if it's a dump that's a little bit more of a struggle, right? Right? A poor fucking guy. So he's in a match. I don't know. I just don't see the risks outweigh the reward tenfold at this point.
Well, next match on this card, a tag match, which I assume had number one contender junior title ramifications. I'm talking about the Suzuki Goon duo of Kanemaru and El Desperado taking on Yo and Sho, Roppongi 3K. Damon, you know, I'm starting to get on the Suzuki Goon Jr. bandwagon. And let me tell you something. This Kanemaru-Desperado pairing, way better than the Kanemaru-Tai Chi pairing, in my opinion.
Listen, come aboard the train, Colin.
These guys are like the most fundamentally sound like tag team duo in all of New Japan.
They might be the best heels in the fucking business. You kidding me?
They're probably the best. Like they're the only true, like, pure heels on this entire card, up and down.
I don't even think Bullet Club are even close.
No,
right?
No
these
way.
These guys are legitimate heels.
Yeah.
Name me another fucking team in the history, not in the history of this business, but currently that are better heels than those two motherfuckers.
You can't. Everybody is a pseudo heel or a cool heel or a tweener. Like, nobody. You're right. These guys are like the remaining
dicks.
Yeah. And they start off the match that way. They win the match that way with the chair shot to the back and El Desperado.
There's no motioning to the crowd to be like, "Hey, I'm cool guy."
No, there's none of that. It's all just them being pricks.
Yep, I love them. I love it.
They're the best.
The best. Yep. Right now. All right. Now I'm going to give you my complaints.
Uh-oh.
Colin.
Brawling?
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm hand-waving that. It's this... Can I... In 99% of the scenarios in New Japan Pro Wrestling, how does one challenge for any type of championship match?
Well, the... show up,
right?
Usually, point.
Right? Right? Somebody holds the belt, they get nose to nose, and now we got a match, right?
Right.
And how many times have we seen that scenario play out?
Too many to count.
Probably a trillion, okay? Now, all of a sudden, we have a qualifying match? Like, I don't understand.
Well, this wasn't an official qualifying match per se, but I mean, you have to assume, given the outcome, that they're the number one contenders now.
Why? Well, now, yes, but again, in a promotion where you could just hop in a ring and point at each other, and you get like, why wasn't this just a title match?
I don't have a good answer for that.
The only thing I could tell you is they just wanted to stretch this program out.
Well,
right.
That's the obvious answer. I mean, why make this a title match when, you know, you can build up to another match on another card on another day?
And that's exactly what this was. So this was, let's get over the heels as legitimate challengers. Let's work on the back. And they did.
Oh, they did. You saw the chair shot. You saw the high angle Boston Crab from El Despi.
Yep. We saw a ref bump or two. We saw some... alcoholic beverages being spat about.
We did.
I mean, we saw a lot of nonsense, but I thought, they're heels, man. They're legitimate motherfucking heels at this point. And yes, the outside interference, which there were, it wasn't really any, right? There wasn't any additional outside.
No, because all the Suzuki Goon guys were involved in matches throughout the night. So this was like the first night in forever where, like, all the Suzuki Goon matches have been free of outside interference for the most part.
Right. I mean, there's shenanigans with the participants in the matches, but there wasn't any. Right. So, so now we got number one contenders. You couldn't. And here's the thing, too. I take it back. I mean, there's really. If Kanemaru and fucking El Desperado lose. I mean, okay. I mean, does anybody lose sleep at night? I don't know. I just felt it weird that this wasn't the title match.
Well, here's the other thing about that. I mean, it's not like that your junior tag division is all that deep, if you know what I mean. I mean, let's talk about some of the other people in the junior tag division. Okay, so obviously Sho and Yo, right? They're the champions. Canemaro, El Desperado. The Box, who are always busy doing a plethora of other things. Who else do we got in this junior tag division?
Well, I mean, you got to create some people. You got to create some team. Bushi and Takahashi. You'd have to create a Skrull and somebody. I don't know.
But nobody else is really established as a tag team, is what I'm saying. So, given that, I don't have any problem with. I mean, quite frankly, I'm looking forward to this title match. I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm looking more forward to it. I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way that, again, in this.
I know. This wacky land of pro wrestling where to get what you want, you just show up and point.
Right. I mean, people show up. The people do that for fucking dome matches. We can't do that for fucking Sakura Genesis. You know what I mean? Come on.
Well, we had to fill a card. I mean, did this not. I mean, this match contributed to the undercard on this show.
Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing. I'm not hand waving the match. I thought the match was pretty good, to be truthful. I thought it was real good, actually. I liked it. I don't know. It was just I had a hard time getting over that fact. I should probably just calm the fuck down, but I had a problem with it.
Well, third match, more Suzuki-Gun for you. So on one side we've got Suzuki, Izuka, Tai Chi, and Taka Michinoku. The other side, we have got Makabe, Michael Elgin, Kushida, and Taguchi.
Well, you want to talk about the spot first?
You go ahead.
There's legitimate ass-eating going on in that ring. I mean, there's no bones about it.
It's shoot ass-eating.
It is shoot ass-eating at this point. We're not even... And here's the thing. We're not even going cheekage. We're going... I mean... This is disgusting. I can't believe we have to talk about this on a pro wrestling podcast.
On a family pro wrestling podcast.
This is not a family pro wrestling
podcast. Where both of us occasionally drop the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a family show.
I literally just described a man breaking a tendon while taking a shit. We're a family podcast? Come on. That was one of those moments where it was like, oh, I hope nobody's walking in the room when I fucking have this nonsense on. Oh, my Lord. What's happened to this pro wrestling?
Well, what'd you think of the match itself?
I mean, I couldn't get my mind off of that spot, apparently. Thought I was watching Brazzers or something.
So somebody needs to take a screenshot of that spot and then slap the Brazzers logo on top of it, please.
Come on, Photoshop Kings. Let's go. Get on this. You're missing a great opportunity. Really, that is that definitely should be happening. Brazzers.
Such nonsense.
It really is. What a crazy world we live in. All right, the match. Again, one of those typical Suzuki-Gun. Everybody pairs up. Everybody brawls. The two things that really stood out, obviously, was one, Makabe and Suzuki. They kept their, program moving along.
Yes, that's essentially what this match was for.
Yeah, you're not feeling that, huh?
Well, actually, I'm on board with it for a future match that Suzuki is going to have, and that I think he's going to have. And I don't know if you want me to talk about that here, or here's the thing. It kind of fits in with the main event a little bit too, Okada was saying. You know, he was giving us kind of the sneak preview for the rest of the year. Kind of fits in with that a little bit. But
okay, all right, we'll save that then. But don't forget, write it down because we're good for making a point and then never referencing it.
Oh no, I'll remember this one because this is vital to my thoughts for today's show.
All right. Second point is we joked about it last week with Elgin and our boy Izuka. It really feels like that they are married at this point, and they are joined at the hip for the foreseeable future. Right.
Well, listen, you've got to make reparations for certain things, and I think an Izuka program is just the thing to
Just yep. Listen, we all know the stories about how locker rooms police themselves, right? And how things don't go for unforgiven, whatever.
Unforgiven too.
Right. So again, we joke about it, and I'm continuing to joke about it because I don't know if there's any truth to this or not. But boy, it sure does fucking feel like it, doesn't it?
It's just a funny joke because it could be true. I don't know.
I don't know if it is or it isn't. But and I'm sure nobody's walking up to Michael Elgin and saying, "This is for all the nonsense and shenanigans you fucking pulled." But that's that. That's never going to happen. But
you're going to have a program with a guy on a leash for the foreseeable future.
Right. Who can't move. Right.
Oh, my God. Speaking of which, Elgin, German suplexed Asuka during this match. Yeah. I thought Asuka was going to die.
Yep. He deadlifted him.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going up, pal.
I was legit scared for Asuka.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. New Japan Cup's right around the corner, but... I would not be surprised if it's first round and back to Asuka. So there you go. Kushida was non-existent in this match.
Yeah, Kushida. Honest to God, I can't remember one thing Kushida did in this match.
I can't remember one thing Kushida's done in 4 months.
Then that's kind of sad, isn't it?
I mean, he was in the junior Schmaz, which was a great match.
Yeah, here's the thing though. Like, how many times have we said this about performers in the past? You know, where they had a very slow start to the beginning of the year, and then things kind of picked up towards the middle and end. I mean, that's sort of a common theme in New Japan, where you have high profile guys like Kushida just kind of seemingly doing nothing. And then they come back towards the middle, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. This guy's a main event caliber performer.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Kushida, New Japan Cup. Give me, on a scale of 1 to 10, the likelihood of that happening.
I mean, I would love that, but 1.
Yeah. You don't think they might do that? I mean, listen.
We've been clamoring for the mix of junior heavyweights and heavyweights forever now. And it still hasn't happened.
All right, well, look, maybe the tide is turning a little bit here. There was a speech at the end of the show, Colin.
Right. There was about bringing back a tradition that New Japan has had with the heavyweight champion taking on the junior heavyweight champion at the anniversary show. So, yeah, I know where you're going. I see where you're going with this.
I mean, that could be it. That could be it. You could start a fire. You can't start a fire, Colin, without what?
Gasoline.
Well, no, a spark.
Oh. Okay.
Doing a little Bruce Springsteen for the kids. Come on.
I was thinking of that Bowie song about putting out the fire with gasoline.
What Bowie song is
that?
Cat
People.
Which one?
Cat People.
Oh. I gotta listen to
that. You have to Spotify that one. It's from the Inglourious Bastards soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. I probably... I'm thinking Hunky Dory. There's nothing on there. Wow, man. All right. So what do we think of this match, Colin? Thumbs up, thumb down.
I mean, it was what it was.
Right. I'd give it a thumbs up. I thought it was
I didn't think it was terrible. It established Makabe as a, he had to get the big win here with the King Kong knee drop on Taka Michinoku. They're moving forward in their feud. Makabe challenging for the IC title. I will say this. I did like how Suzuki was kind of bringing out the fight in Makabe. A fight that, quite frankly, we only really see when Makabe faces Ishii, it seems like, right? So I do think that Suzuki is an excellent opponent to bring out the side of Makabe that I feel like most people who listen to this podcast are probably into, that Ishii mode Makabe, if you will.
That's the only way this match is going to be something that we chat about, and gush over. I mean, he's got to bring that side out of Makabe. Makabe's got to be that guy. Now, again, when was the last time you saw Makabe hit a shooting star press, right? I mean, he is who he is. But, there is a certain energy level that needs to be there. Now, again, here's the fear. Nonsense. Suzuki-gun nonsense. Suzuki maybe not having his best effort. We've seen a couple of those occasions where it was, not exactly the type of match we were hoping to see. That never title run, disappointing to say the least. So again, there are people that are going into this a little bit like, all right, a lot of things have to fucking fall into place here for this to be enjoyable. And
he needs to bring out that ruthless aggression.
he needs to find a different gear, that's for sure. And that gear hasn't been hit in quite a long time. But again, we always say it. This roster is stacked up and down, and there's not a guy who, once they get the tap on the shoulder, can't go. We'll see where Makabe fits with that this year.
All right, next match. We have a six-man tag featuring the team of Juice, Finley, Hanare, taking on Jay White, Ishii, and Toru Yano. First thing I want to comment on, I love how Juice's gimmick now is basically that he gets laid all the time. Like, isn't that his gimmick?
I mean, they make mention to it quite often.
Yeah, I think that's his gimmick. It's just falling from the sky for Juice. He's just going to town every night. Like,
right?
Good Lord, I hope he's careful.
I was just thinking that. I hope the young man's smart about this. You know what's out there in this world. All kinds of nasty diseases. You'll get nasty blisters.
You'll get the flu.
You'll catch a cold. They mentioned that the flu was kind of hopping around on this tour.
Oh yeah, Kevin Kelly even mentioned that either Show or Yo had it at the beginning of the week, which automatically led me to think like, that's probably still contagious. Like, I don't think.
God, I know. Any locker room. Like, I just know, like, just in sports in general, like when the flu goes around in a locker room, the training staff, like, it just smells like cleaning solutions everywhere.
The Lysol wipes are out.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, how do you not? I mean, here's the thing. You got the flu, and you're sharing water bottles, towels, and just so. Yeah, once one person gets it, that's it. And then, again, they travel on that bus, New Japan guys.
It's like a human bacteria frap on wheels.
It really is. It's like, one guy gets it, fucking everybody's getting it. So, all right, where were we?
How about the match? Juice, Finley, and Hanare versus Jay White, Ishii, and Yano. I guess what they're trying to do here is really establish Jay White as somewhat of a badass with the ref stoppage finish.
Yeah, they're doing everything in their power, dude. They're doing everything in their power to make him a star. You can't blame the promotion.
Is it working?
It's early. Again, we are very impatient. He beats Okada. He beats Omega. He takes home the U.S. strap. He's in a big program with Tanahashi. It felt like he was in a big program with Bullet Club. I feel like people want him to. I think the promotion is helping. This is the idea of him being this manipulating force, and this behind this. The scenes puppet master.
Has that come across yet to anyone who doesn't listen to this podcast and doesn't really dig in depth on online message boards?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you got to be you're digging for shit in my eyes.
That's a nugget right there. That's like that's a hidden nugget.
Right, but that's also really strong storytelling, too. Now, again, I don't know if necessarily I'm feeling it from my own eyes to brain to heart, as opposed to, I read this on the message board, and that might be a good idea of where they might go with this, right?
Right, like to me, that feels more like the skeleton of an idea, a direction that you can go in, which... truthfully, I do not think that they're going in that direction. I really don't think that's like a fictional storyline.
Right, it's fantasy booking.
I'll tell you something else too. When Jay White walked out with that United States title wrapped around his waist, mm-hmm. I thought like, oh yeah, that's right, he's champion. That belt exists.
I'm not gonna lie, me too. And I'll tell you what else it was. That post-match really took a lot of the shine off of Jay White winning that belt. because nobody remembers him winning that belt. I can't say nobody, but it's just it is an afterthought almost.
And it wasn't like it was a bad match either. It was a good match, but
listen, the problem is not the matches. The problem is not Jay White's in ring performance. The problem is that people are struggling buying Jay White in this role.
Let me ask you a question.
Right.
Since that Omega match where he won the U.S. title from Omega, up to this point, has that done anything to change people's perception of him? I really don't think it has.
Which is a shame because, you know,
he beat Kenny Omega.
Right.
Think about that.
I mean, look at it this way. The wonders it did for Juice, right?
Yeah, it did do wonders for Juice. So, I mean, shouldn't it conceivably do wonders for a performer who probably even better than Juice in the ring?
I'd be curious to hear what people actually think, right? Because we are just two people's opinions.
We're in an echo chamber right now, as they say.
Right, right. I mean, I'm curious. Like, legit, I would just like to see if people are in or out on Jay White. Like, and not, like, forever. Again, I think the biggest criticism that this show gets, and a valid criticism, is that we are very impatient. And a lot of people are. Now, look, you know, I'm saying, I'm literally just, I just cringe because I was like, oh, okay, we're impatient. I'm calling out people who want Okada to not, you know, to lose. They're, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm fucking hypocritical. All right, the PureCast is over. We're done.
This is the last episode, folks.
I'm having an internal conflict. But I'd be curious to hear, like, where are you on Jay White? Are you in so far, or are you out? Or not necessarily out, but you're waiting to see where this goes because you're not feeling it right now.
And just a quick point before we move on to the next thing about the whole patience thing. I do understand that it's still early, as you said. However, I don't know if you remember when a guy by the name of Hiromu Takahashi made his debut and yeah. He was white hot right out of the gate. No pun intended, white hot. Jay White's not there. Nowhere even close.
No.
He's just a guy with another belt.
Look, I think if you're going to make a comparison of Young Lion returning from excursion.
Yeah, they were both Young Lions, even though one's a junior, one's a heavyweight. It's a fair comparison.
Takahashi came in like a what, Colin?
He came in like a wrecking ball, Damon.
He fucking sure did. So, hey, you know, if all things being fair, we're comparing two Young Lions coming back from excursion. I think one got it right and one's still kind of getting comfortable in his role. But the promotion is doing everything in their power to fucking make sure that they're, you know, again, he's winning by stoppages. He's beating everybody that's put in front of him. I mean, losing to Tanahashi at the Dome. Okay, that aside. I don't know. Here's the thing, though. I really don't even feel like they know what the fuck they want to do with the guy.
And what is the gimmick anyway, by the way? Like, what is Switchblade? What does that – he wears a necklace with a dagger and he drops it dramatically in a vignette?
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to be religious schoolgirl and wear a cross. You know, I don't know.
What's going on there?
Look, I don't know.
I would have loved if he just came back as Jay White. Jay White, great world-traveled wrestler. Just do that. Like, why do we need this nonsense?
Do you think that's what it is, Colin? Do you think it's this over? And again, I don't think it's it's not like Evil and a fucking sickle and lasers where you know they're just so over the top.
It's Evil-esque though. When you if you had to compare it to something else on the current roster, it is a bit Evil-esque.
Is that the problem you think people have?
I think it's a huge part of the problem. This gimmick, this he's packaged as some sort of some sort of macabre badass, and it just that's not him. It's not him.
I think you're onto it. I think you're onto something. All right, enough Jay White talk. Where are we next?
Next, before we move on to the second half of the show here, we did see a video package of none other than Mr. Rey Mysterio Jr., who's going to be taking on Jushin Thunder Liger at Strong Style Evolved in L.A. Long Beach on March 25th. How about that?
Well, not for nothing.
Did you see Rey Mysterio at the Rumble?
Yeah, I did.
That guy was like in the best shape of his career.
He looked good. He looked good.
He was lean. He was toned. He moved around good. I'm really psyched about this, actually, because I think this is the first time Rey Mysterio will be in a New Japan ring.
Like, I could have sworn that, but this was for the J-Cup. It was Mysterio against Psychosis. So that might be true in the sense that it wasn't an official New Japan show, right? The J-Cup. It might have been like, I forget who might have been.
What Super J-Cup was that?
Second one?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that one technically was not even put on by New Japan.
That's what I'm saying.
That was War.
So, yeah, so.
Wrestle and Romance.
Yes. What a terrible name, right?
That's my promotion. I'm a very romantic guy, and I like wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's your Valentine's Day romance.
I should be booking War.
You should bring back War. So that statement of not being in a New Japan ring, obviously it holds some truth. So
he was in Japan.
Yeah, it was in Japan, but not a New Japan promoted show.
How do you feel about the match itself? I think it's going to be awesome.
I think it's, look, every once in a while, every year you tap on Liger on the shoulder and you put him in a singles match and, you're getting at least three. You think Mysterio can put you over the 3.5?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So? The shape he's in, the way he's moving around, I'm really excited about this. And the best part of this was after they showed the video package, it cut to Liger on commentary. He's wearing like a plaid shirt and the black vest. It was the greatest thing ever.
It was like grandpa coming out of the camper, it's like
so
grandpa
great.
Showing up for, the kid's child's birthday. Yeah. Yeah. He brings like a Nerf gun, as a toy.
I love it.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to lie. When I heard the announcement, there was a part of me that was like, oh, how the fuck am I not in Long Beach this time? Like, I really got mad. I was like, fuck. Of course they do this to me. Because I would want to see that. I definitely would want to see it. Listen, this is not going to be Rey Mysterio, Jushin Liger, 1996,
no.
Right? But
on Nitro,
right? They had a Starrcade match.
Did they have a Starrcade match?
Yeah, I had a Starrcade match. I think that was the only singles match between the two. Actually,
I gotta check that one out.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's on the network.
Oh, it has to be. Yeah, all the Starrcades are on there. So
yeah, so.
I might watch that today, actually.
There you go. It's not a bad match. I'm in on that. That's a great little spot for Liger on those shows. That's a great spot right there. A little jealous. I'm not going to be there. A little jealous.
Do you think that that's something worth flying in for?
Look, if that's the first announced match of the show,
it is.
That's a good start.
It is a good start.
That's a good start.
And it will be on Access TV, by the way.
Yes. So I will be able to watch it from the comforts of my own home live. But, yeah, a little jealous. That one stung a little bit. So fuck you all, everybody who's going, and I'm not. All right.
Well, we have...
That's how you build an audience, by the way, Colin.
Yeah, insult them.
All right,
express your jealousy for their good fortune. The first of the five... Chaos versus LIJ matches here. Ghetto versus Bushi. Damon, I'm willing to bet that this match had a lot of stuff that you hated.
It was nonsense.
With number one, one of your least favorite spots in professional wrestling. Tell us what it is.
Which one? Mask?
The mask. The removal of the mask.
Yeah, and you know what the new thing is now? And again, I guess they're more fashionable than they've ever been. Maybe not ever. Abe Lincoln might have something to say about it. The beards, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, the Clippers.
We're working beard spots and pulling the beard hair. Okay, all right. The mask spot, we're ripping off masks. And, of course, coming in at number one, Mystify. And errant mist. But the camera missed, actually. Camera missed the mist.
The mist.
Yeah.
Errant Mist. That's actually a great band name.
That ain't bad.
Errant Mist.
Right.
And you can spell it M-Y-S-T,
really?
The video game.
Oh, wow. Look at you. That's a death metal band right there, right?
I don't know what kind of band it is, actually. Errant Mist.
The minute you put the Y in, you're I can see the pointy font, like the evil pointy font.
Oh, there should be like an amulet over the Y as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
Rock dots.
You could turn any word with an amulet, you can turn the word hat and it instantly turns into like death metal.
Yes.
Just by those two little dots. Yeah.
How about this match though?
Can we talk more about death metal and amulet?
if you want to talk some
you know what, here's the thing though, it wasn't that bad, right?
No, it was exactly what I expected it to be. I mean, we saw the usual shenanigans. We saw Bushi with the MX finish. 1, 2, 3. Quite frankly, my favorite part of the entire match is getting to hear Bushi's entrance music and see what kind of cool mask he's wearing this time, which I thought this one was especially neat, as the kids say.
Yeah. I like, I think this match is better than the usual ghetto, Gato. I call him Ghetto all the time. Like
Ghetto,
in,
Gato. Tomato, tomato. Ishii.
Right.
Ralph.
I think this is better than, how every year they come over and they'll do like the Ring of Honor stuff, and it's always like
that's
him
coming
against
up.
Delirious, and or him against, I don't know. And those matches are usually, poke in the eye matches and nonsense matches. This was better than those.
Yes.
I think a lot of that has to do with Bushi. But people dig the griminess that Ghetto brings. I don't know. I mean, I can't say I would go out of my way to watch this again. I think this is maybe, I don't know. Like, I wanted to say that it was maybe one of the worst matches on the show, but even with that being said, I don't think this was that bad. I mean,
I don't think there was anything bad on this show at all. Uh-huh. Really, this was the most watchable New Beginning show out of the three.
Yeah, I would be okay if they. Here's the biggest challenge that I have
with what?
I guess this match even being on the show.
Okay,
but hear me out.
All right,
singles matches are hard to come by in New Japan, right?
Oh, wait till we go over the card for New Japan Road. Listen,
okay.
Damon, if you love tag matches.
Yeah? This is the show for me?
You're going to dig that show, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, with that said, singles matches are, they don't fall from fucking trees in New Japan.
No.
We got these two in a singles match. Now, I understand why we're doing it, right? Trust me, that's not going, it's the whole Chaos versus Los Ingobernables. So, why not put it on? But again, it's a singles match on a somewhat important show. And it's these two clowns. All right. Just saying.
Well, why don't we go on to the next match as we continue this LIJ versus Chaos series here. With Yoshihashi versus Tetsuya Naito. Damon, I gotta say, I think that Yoshihashi lived up to his name in this match as the loose explosion. Because was this not the most fiery, ambitious Yoshihashi that you've seen in a while?
Yes, and one of the better Yoshihashi matches that we've seen in quite a while.
Absolutely. I thought this was great. And you know what? This was... I'm going to say, I know we didn't talk about this match yet, but I like this better than I like the Never title match.
Me too.
It's about five or four minutes shorter. Yep. More, a lot more action packed, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great Naito Yoshihashi singles match.
Yeah, this, I mean, like I said, this is the best Yoshihashi match we've seen in quite a while.
Probably going back to like the Omega matches he had, maybe. Like this, this was probably as good or better than them, I'd say.
Yeah, it's amazing how he might be the most underrated guy on the roster.
He might be because he's had some great matches.
I mean, name me a guy that universally. I mean, look, I listened to the English version this time. I have not watched the Japanese version, but they're even pointing it out. You know how, the first match, Yoshihashi's first match is against Naito, right? And the career paths both of those two guys have taken. You know, Naito's winning every title minus what, the Never Six Man, and what was the other one that he didn't win?
He did not have the Never Six Man. He's held the Never title. He's held.
Yep.
Hasn't held the U.S. title, obviously.
Okay. Oh yeah. Then that might have been the one. Okay. So, he's held everything in the company.
He was heavyweight champion. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. I do, Colin. And
I was
and
pretty mad when he lost it.
I know. And how many titles has Yoshihashi won?
How many titles has Yoshihashi won?
The number is zero. Yoshihashi has not won a title in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Wow.
Right? So, commentary's even pointing it out that, Yoshihashi might be, the most underachieving guy on that roster. Yet, I feel like he is also one of the most underrated because, once again, I'll give you the Damon special here. We have the Philly special, now, Colin. A little tie in there. The Damon special, when they get the tap on the shoulder and they're asked to deliver, if they do, Yoshihashi is a guy that can do that, right?
You can have Yoshihashi main event like Korakuen shows against somebody like a Naito. I mean, yeah, he's a guy who you can stick in like a high profile, third from the top sort of match on this card or like a main event on the smaller show. And yeah, he's just a solid performer.
Okay, then why is it that every motherfucker forgets that?
In what sense? They forget
in the sense
it.
Of if I announce that Yoshihashi against Naito is headlining a Korakuen show, are you excited?
No, I know where you're going with this. I understand what you're trying to say now. It's because of it's because of the whole package. It's because like Yoshihashi, like just the name, and undeservedly so, it garners up images of blandness, of just like dry toast. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like when the bell rings and like we've seen the match, it's like, oh goddamn, that was really good. What a great pro wrestler. But his name on paper, on cards, for whatever reason, even though it doesn't match what we see in the ring, it just paints a boring picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had the second best match of the show.
Really? Okay. I'm going to say he had the third best.
Third. I take it back. Take it back. Don't bury me. I can see people already like they get to that spot of the show and literally their hands are reaching for the keyboard and
you would agree though that it was better than that Never match we saw with Goto and Evil.
Yes, I do. But okay, so now here's the thing. Is Goto in that same category as Yoshihashi? Is he eventually going to, now again, Goto has had tag team titles, Never title. Intercontinental title.
He beat Nakamura. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. I was there.
Twice.
I mean,
twice in a row.
Yeah. So I can't say that he's at Yoshihashi levels of interest. He's quickly getting there. He's quickly getting there, Goto, for me. With that being said, we are exactly right in the sense that Yoshihashi can have a great fucking pro wrestling match, but if I told you next month it's him against Kenny Omega, are you eye rolling?
Yeah, a little. Even though I know after I get done watching it, I'll say, damn, that was a good match.
That's called being underrated. That's called being underrated.
Hey, you know, I think you're onto something. I really do.
Give me another guy that you do that.
Oh, I mean, maybe, I don't know, I feel bad saying, maybe like a Yuji Nagata. Yeah,
that was the name. That was the name I had on the tip of my tongue. That was the name that I had on my
tongue.
That's
the only other guy I could think of where like.
Or maybe even a Kojima at this point.
Yeah, maybe even a Kojima at this point. He's had some good ones as of late.
But here's the thing. Kojima, to me, like, are people more excited about Kojima? I think Kojima has the whole Twitter thing, the whole bread club.
Yeah, I was going to say that does play into people's interest in Kojima more so than what you see inside the ring.
Right. I mean, if you took both those guys and said, okay, fans, who do you like more, Kojima or Yoshihashi? I'm pretty confident people are going to be like, I'm pretty confident Yuji Nagata runs away with it. I'm pretty confident Kojima runs away with it. I really feel like Yoshihashi is the one guy on this roster that legitimately can go, yet everybody fucking hand waves him.
And I mean
everybody from casual fans, they look at him and they're like, fucking Paula Deen here? What? Well, this guy.
Have you ever seen a Yoshihashi shirt out in public?
Yes, I have, Colin.
In Japan.
In Japan, but it was he was definitely a North American. Yeah, he definitely was because I talked to him. After the trip, yeah, I think he lived in like in North Jersey.
Yeah, wow, well, that makes me feel good then that somebody from Jersey owns a Yoshihashi t-shirt, because
yeah,
I think we should both buy them.
I am not wearing a Loose Explosion t-shirt. No,
is that the only one
way they
have that it says Loose Explosion? There has to be another Yoshihashi t-shirt. Come on,
all right, you find it.
I will find it. And you know what? We're gonna buy them, and we're gonna wear them to events.
All right.
To show our support for this diamond in the rough, this guy, you know what, Yoshihashi's almost like, is he going to be the new gatekeeper?
No.
Is he going to replace Goto?
Nah.
No. Okay.
Goto's your gatekeeper.
All right.
Goto's
all right. Just checking.
Because I got news for you. Even right now, there's no one who expected, like, no one thought, you know, Yoshihashi was beating Naito. Right. But I will. But here's the thing, though. I will say this: nobody expected him to beat Kenny Omega first night of G1 either. So, all right, whatever. But that was 2 years ago. Just FYI.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Next match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title. My favorite match of the evening. My favorite match of the year thus far. Will Ospreay.
Oh, really?
Uh huh. Will Ospreay defending against Hiromu Takahashi. First of all, brilliant video package with the cat's face and the narration. I did love that. And the match itself is just unbelievable. You know, modern day, state-of-the-art, 21st century junior heavyweight pro wrestling, which is right in the Colin Miller wheelhouse. This match was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It had everything.
All right, I'm going to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Because last week I said, all right, well, I'm going to give you matches. This match, was it better than the junior schmaz at the Dome?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I thought this match was far more interesting than the four-way at the Dome. I'll even say I think that this match was better than last year's New Beginning match that Takahashi had against Dragon Lee.
Ooh.
And I love that match.
Yeah, me too. Better than Jericho and Omega from the Dome.
For me, if I'm going to rewatch a pro wrestling match,
yes,
I would pick this one over that one.
Okay.
Just because it was nonstop, you know, from belt to belt, 20 minutes of just, excuse the pun, total nonstop action.
yeah, a lot of big time moves, maneuvers. All right, now again, my match of the year so far this year is Gargano, Almas, NXT. I thought that match was just outstanding.
It was unbelievable.
I thought that was an absolutely outstanding pro wrestling match, top to bottom, bell to bell. And even after the bell. Better than that.
For me, yeah. This was my favorite match of the year. Yeah, I would put that match at number two.
Fucking A.
In terms of ranking matches for the year, I love this. This had everything that is in my cake recipe for an awesome pro wrestling match.
Now, you know you're going to hear from people, right? The selling, the neck.
I thought there was plenty. I mean, okay, yeah. What was wrong with the selling? I mean,
I had no problem with it, Colin. I'm just saying, you know, that there are going to be people out there that are going to mention that and make reference to that. And, you know, they're out there.
Yeah, I do know they're out there, but so what? Okay. And
All right. I'm just saying. All right.
I even thought that this match had great storytelling, and the story was Ospreay just tried time and time again to hit that springboard stunner, and Takahashi countered it every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you a little disappointed? No title change. You happy with keeping the belt?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't want a title change. I think it was you last week who called the title change, and
yes.
I was in the camp of no, wait, what, way too soon. We do not want a hot potato, this junior heavyweight title. And plus, it sounds like we're going to get Okada versus Ospreay at the anniversary show, which I'm just tickled pink to hear about.
That's going to be great.
That's going to be awesome. That's going to be better than the one that they had in Rev Pro, which is what really led to Ospreay's introduction into New Japan.
Yeah, it felt like it was almost like a tryout match.
Yeah.
This match had it all, man. It was car crashes and great spots with a Z and maneuvers. And yeah, you're right. This was a modern junior heavyweight title match that I think delivered on all counts. I think it's up there in my matches of the year. It's in the mix. Definitely top five.
I might even rank this above both of the Ricochet matches that Ospreay had.
Oh, the Cork and Hall one.
Yeah, but well, there were two Cork and Hall ones. There was the first one in 2016 that wound up on ESPN and all over sports media, and the second one, the rematch at Cork and Hall, and I. You know, those matches are absolutely my wheelhouse. I enjoyed this one more than those because it was more compact. Like, I think it was definitely about 10 minutes shorter than the last Ricochet match. This one clocked in at just 20 minutes, Damon. Just 20 minutes, and there's a perfect length for a match like this too.
Yeah, yeah. You're not reaching for your phone during this. Is this the best junior match you've seen?
This is the best junior match I've seen since the one with Kushida from what was that, King of Pro Wrestling, where he first won the title.
Oh, against Takahashi or against
No. It was Ospreay versus Kushida last year's King of Pro Wrestling. It was the first time Ospreay won the title. Probably the best one since then. Yeah,
and better than Dragon Lee's match.
I liked it better than the Dragon Lee match.
Wow. I really like those.
I thought this had everything.
Huh.
20 minutes. It sounds like you're almost questioning my enthusiasm a bit.
No, 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 no. I just Dave Meltzer'd you.
No, 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 no. Do you have any papers?
I should. Let me see. No, I really don't around me.
Shuffle around.
Yeah. Pause for 20 minutes while Brian Alvarez tries to make sense of it all. It's in my top five for the year. How's that? It's in my top five for the year. And I could see, because this is a Colin Miller wheelhouse kind of match.
Oh, it is.
I'm kind of surprised You're talking like this is the best fucking juniors match you've seen in 2 years.
No, not in 2 years. No. Right. This is the best junior match I've seen since last October.
Okay.
Because the ones after that were, what was it? Ospreay versus Skrull from Power Struggle, which
I think this was better.
And plus Skrull and Ospreay have had way better matches together than that Power Struggle one, and I thought that this one was more. It was better than the four way, in the sense that there's less. there's less to focus on, you know? There's right. I mean, there's still plenty going on, but, you know, it's one on one. It's more the aerial battle means more to me when it's one on one.
Yeah. All right. Look, I think this match is in my top 5 of the year. You're talking that Ospreay's the next Jushin Liger, and
I didn't say that.
Fucking Sayama Tiger Mask, Dynamite Kid.
He's exceptionally talented.
All right, yeah, no doubt about that.
Takahashi is exceptionally talented.
I really like Takahashi, man.
I always wonder how he doesn't screw up his tailbone when he does that diving senton.
I don't know how he walks the next fucking day after these matches. Like, and you know what? They are so right when they talk about these kids are shaving years off their career. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're adults, saying, you know, whatever. But some of the shit. I mean, there's only so many of those power bombs you can take on the floor, you know, through the ropes, and you know what I mean, where, you know, Ospreay's holding on to the ring rope before he gets smashed on the floor. There's only so many big dives from a top turnbuckle that you can do.
My favorite spot is the I call it the walk up the wall spot that Ospreay does, where he kind of the walk up the wall spot where he sort of walks up Takahashi and does a backflip.
I mean, look, those spike, you know, reverse Frankensteiner spots from the top rope where they're literally landing on the top of their head. The guardrail spots that Ospreay does where he just throws himself in, you know. Look, they're 20-year-old kids doing dangerous shit, and God bless them for it because it's entertaining as fuck. But, boy, I hate to see those kids when they turn 40. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I will say, though, the only – and this was more so the crowd – than anything. Towards the end of the match, when Ospreay hit that beheading spot,
yeah,
I felt like the crowd was supposed to react more to that than they did. If that makes any sense.
I know. I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like I let out an audible gasp, but like the crowd was just sort like they didn't expect that. I don't know what it was about that particular spot, but that's when Ospreay hit the third on the third Oscutter attempt. He hit it then. Won and retained the title, but that's like the only thing. If I was rating this match, I would give it 4.75 stars, and I give it that because the crowd reaction to certain things wasn't it seemed weird.
I thought the crowd was pretty lit. Yeah, but that one spot that kind of backhanded chop to the head,
it kind of brought things down a little bit. It brought the ending down just a tad.
You're okay with all the kickouts? Okay with all that?
Yeah, I'm fine. Listen, I want that in a match like this.
Colin's all about spamming the finishers, kid. He's like, fuck. hit everything.
I want to have a good time when I watch pro wrestling.
I'm
going to have fun.
I want to have fun, too. All I want to do is have some fun, Colin.
And a match that certainly wasn't as fun as the match we just got done talking about. For the NEVER Openweight title, Goto... defending against Evil. Number one, of the big problems I had with this match was that it came after this crazy car crash we just witnessed, and this match almost would have been suited better if they put it third from the top instead of the semi. I would have personally had that junior heavyweight match semi-main event. I really would have. And it would have played into the upcoming Ospreay-Okada match in March.
Colin, I think you're on to something. I'm not going to lie, because I think there is a danger. And I'm not the biggest, you know, supporter of this notion of a crowd being burned out. You know, a crowd, if it's good, people will react. Listen, they had no fucking problem reacting to Okada and Sonata, right?
No.
I thought this match struggled. The positioning didn't help it any. Let's put it that way. This was a match where I'm digging at my phone. I couldn't get to my phone quick enough. I thought this was.
I could not get into this. I could not get into it. I thought it was very slow. I thought it was downright boring at times. I thought that the finish sort of came out of nowhere, and the crowd was I thought was a bit baffled by it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will say this, though. As far as positive goes, you had alluded to earlier about how you view Hirooki Goto differently now. Like, he's on this roll now. He's on a nice, hearty, whole wheat roll, Damon. And you look at him more... He's like a guy who's been through so many hardships and such a battle, and Suzuki almost killed him for crying out loud at the Tokyo Dome. You know, he's got a lot of mileage now, and he's
Yeah, you're talking like he's the fucking Philadelphia Eagles, though.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'm not
like,
no.
I mean, listen, there's I'm not feeling that he's on this road to redemption. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
I am more so than past forced roads to redemption he's been on.
This match did him no favors.
No, it didn't.
This match did Evil no favors.
No, this was like the worst Evil match in
a bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something not right for me on this.
I wouldn't say it was bad, though, either, by the same token. Like...
No, let's be clear. There was not a bad match on the show.
Uh-uh.
Right?
Best stuff in this match happened towards the tail end.
Well, yeah. I mean, but even the finish, you're right. It just, I don't know, man. Like, I hate to be as nondescriptive as I am, and I just didn't feel this at all. And I was disappointed in this match. Like, if there was a disappointment, I'm pointing at this match.
Yeah, because this didn't have like the big Haas elements that you would expect either.
Like, to me, Goto is a good Goto match is where he is an underdog, and where there is an element of him having to fight back. And truth be told, I never felt that in this match. Never. I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me and Goto are not getting along, you know? Maybe I just don't feel the energy from him. I know that we have a lot of listeners that are really into Hirooki Goto. I really enjoy it. I wonder if they're in the same camp right now. Like, that's... Look, if I'm being honest, I feel like Suzuki made that Suzuki Goto match at the Dome. Like, that match was great because of one, the underdog element of Goto.
The way it started out.
Yeah. And Suzuki really made that match special. Like, Suzuki was on that match. I think those elements were missing in this Evil match. Like, there was never a point where I really felt like Goto was an underdog.
And that match is probably in my top five for the year so far, by the way. The Never match from the Dome.
I don't know, man. This one was a disappointment to me. On paper, I felt like it could have been a lot better, and it didn't deliver.
Where does Goto need to go next? Like, who's the next logical opponent for him?
Great question.
Because what are we trying to accomplish? Number one.
I don't know.
I think what we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to, and again, I feel like a broken record saying this,
right,
but Goto's trying to get his groove back.
Yeah, Colin, but here's the question I have for you.
2 years talking about this.
He has had every opportunity to get his groove back. He really has. This guy has worn every fucking championship in this company. He is the opposite of Yoshihashi. He has had every fucking opportunity. I don't feel it at all, man. To me, right now, this redemption story or the, you know, this, I'm not feeling it. Sorry, I just don't fucking feel it from him. And the problem I have now is now. Now you're kind of questioning, am I going to get a good match at a Hirooki Goto at this point? That's a problem.
Maybe it's just him and Evil. Maybe they just don't mesh well. Maybe that was it, because If you put Goto, I don't know.
There was something missing. There was absolutely something missing. And
I will say, though, I do think that placement had a ton to do with how this match was perceived. I think this was placed bad on the card. They should have put this third or fourth to last.
I think placement did them no favors. But again, here's the thing. You think fucking Evil is calling this match in the ring with Goto? You know what I mean? You think Evil's laying out this fucking match? No, Evil's shaking his head in the locker room. Okay, whatever you want to do, yeah. Mr. Goto. You know what I mean?
Chief J,
whatever you want to do.
Got your balls on. Your Buddhist necklace, right?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you want to do, right? You know that's the case.
I do dig that he's back in the black trunks now, because those red trunks, they just reeked of failure to me. Like, they really did. Like black trunk Goto is like badass warrior Goto, and red trunk Goto is like forced chaos, trying to give this guy a run.
Hirooki Goto in chaos stinks.
Oh, it's the worst. It never should have happened. Never should have happened.
Stinks.
And you know who else is in chaos now, Damon? Jay White.
Are you telling me chaos stinks? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Jay White's in chaos, too. It might be a piece of relevant information. I don't know. But yeah, I thought that this match was quite underwhelming. Not what I expected it to be. Placed wrong on the card, and I don't know. I don't know where we go with Hirooki Goto next time. One thing I wanted to correct myself on, or add, if you will, was I forgot to mention after the Naito match. Well, number one thing I wanted to say about Naito, what other performer on the card does the crowd start chanting for before his music is even played and before a video package even airs?
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Wrong.
Aww.
Tetsuya Naito. He's the only wrestler on this entire roster where the crowd is actually chanting his name before the entrance even starts.
Look, it's an LIJ town, right? That's what everybody's saying.
And second point, main point I wanted to say, Tai Chi jumped Naito after that match. Hell was that about?
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because that is something very important that we did skip. Yeah,
I didn't mean to gloss over it. I apologize.
What the fuck was that about, right? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Tai Chi a junior?
Tai Chi is a junior. He is in Suzuki-gun.
Yeah, okay. Let me bring up another point then. So you have that everybody's like, well, why? What the fuck's going on? Let me ask you another question, Colin. There's a name I did not hear mentioned once in that broadcast. You know who that name was?
Who?
Christopher Jericho.
Well, that leads me to another thought that I have. I don't know if you checked out the latest issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter per Mr. Dave Meltzer.
I was busy at a parade, Colin.
Okay. I hate parades. no, but seriously, though, Meltzer was saying that there are talks of potentially putting Jericho Naito on like a bigger stage. I mean, there were talks of having that main event, the Long Beach show, but either way, there seems to be an uncertainty of what to do with that match at this point, which could explain the lack of progression in the feud that was started at New Year Dash.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just pointing things out that I notice. Okay. Didn't hear Chris Jericho's name mentioned once. He was not featured in any way, shape, or form.
And he sure as hell didn't take that flight from Zurich to Osaka like I was trying to book him on last week.
Right.
Google flights.
That's his uncommitment to the professional wrestling business, right?
The least he could have done.
The least he could have done. Okay. And now we got Tai Chi, who is going to assault Naito. Okay. All right. So, listen. This Long Beach show, month away. It's a month away.
Are we doing Tai Chi versus Naito at Long Beach? Is that what you're saying?
I am not saying that.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that it seems like everybody else is jumping Naito, right? It seems like he's got his handful with a lot of different other things, and then we're just going to plop in Chris Jericho out of nowhere? I mean, again.
Could be saving that for a bigger stage.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's the case.
And I can tell you what stage.
All right, but we're... I don't know.
Madison Square Garden.
What?
That's my idea.
I can't wait to read the headlines tomorrow.
No. Seriously though, wouldn't that be something if they book the garden? Like, I think they could get at least 10,000 people in there. It's a 20,000 seat venue, I guess. There's a match you would put on a card like that, along with maybe like an Omega versus Okada.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
And I don't know the answer to this, so
I don't know the answer either.
But I'm just going to throw it out there. Does the WWE have exclusivity?
I think they have some sort of monopoly going on there with MSG. They have to. Okay. But
how about Barclays Center?
You know what? Actually, UFC ran Madison Square Garden. It's the same thing essentially.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It's the pro wrestling business. Yeah, you know what? WWE might be more into Barclays because I think it's cheaper to run.
Well, SummerSlam's there every year, and I'm sure that's a big money-making venture for Barclays, right?
Yeah.
I think
Jay-Z owns that, by the way.
The Barclays Center?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think it might be right, actually. Or he might be in the mix.
He's in there somehow.
But, you know, you figure, I'm sure there's... Listen, let's be truthful here. There's no other fucking wrestling promotion that could possibly run that building. It's not like ROH is going to be, you know, booking the Barclays Center, right?
No.
So it's not like WWE has any concern, but you would think that they would at least, well, they're very conservative right now.
A bit, right? Bit too conservative.
I agree. They could run a bigger building. They really could run a bigger. Hey, look, Cody and the Bucks are willing to shell out their own money for a bigger building, right? If that's not proof positive that New Japan could do it, then I don't know what is.
Well, that's the next. See, the next logical step, in my opinion, for this North American expansion, these booking shows in the States. Next logical step is NYC.
East Coast. Here's the thing, though. I mean, I remember last year somebody telling me that, you know, they were looking at East Coast. So, yeah, I mean.
Wouldn't it be something if they were able to book a show at the Garden?
There's plenty of venues, right? Listen, we're out of our mind thinking it's going to be the Garden. But, I mean, you got Prudential Center in Newark. You got the Barclay Center in Brooklyn. I mean, you could technically say Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia.
There's the theater at Madison Square Garden, but that's like, again, that's a 4,000 or 5,000 seat venue.
Yeah, the theater is the way that's set up is really weird. You know what I mean? It's really weird for pro wrestling. I'm not the biggest fan of that. You would think an East Coast is in their future. But yes, I did notice that. Again, I'm just fanning flames, but again, there is still no talk about Chris Jericho, so we'll see what happens. Maybe, again, they're holding out for a bigger venue, what have you. We'll see.
You want to talk about the main event here?
IWGP
Heavyweight Championship, Okada defending against Seiya Sonata. First thing right out of the gate, one thing I want to say. We've seen, you know, we talk about Sonata as being this guy who kind of cut from the same cloth as an Okada, some would say. A guy with all the gifts, you know, athletically. Maybe he needs to work on his facial expressions, but that's a different story. He's had great matches in New Japan. He's had matches with Okada before, and he's had two really good matches against Hiroshi Tanahashi in recent years. Was this Seiya Sonata's best match so far in New Japan Pro Wrestling? Damon, go.
Yes. And it's a big spot, right? So it's, you know, it could be argued that the brand is selling the tickets, but he's headlining a show. You know, he's on top of a show. What I'm hoping is this. I think what's more important than this match itself is 3 or 4 months down the road, 5 months down the road, and where if this match helped to propel Sonata to greater heights, right? I don't want this just to be a match where he had a great match. He's a great worker. We already know this. We already know he's a great worker. What has this done for his career trajectory?
trajectory, right? I think is the word you're going for.
Right. That's what I want.
And you know what? For what it's worth, just really quick, I don't think that this is going to be one of those matches where it was just like, just a dot of a great match in the entire year. I do think that this will mean something for Sonata's future. I've got to believe that.
I hope so. But again, I think what is going to be more important in this is where is he in 4 months, 5 months, 6 months? Now, does that mean he has to leave LIJ?
You got to figure somebody's bound to leave that faction sooner or later because it's been existence for quite some time now. They've all been together for a while. Something's going to happen in there eventually.
You would think.
They'll probably add more members just because I said that.
Yeah. Volador Jr.
Yeah, right.
That's the danger of a faction, you know, when you have all these factions.
The dangers of factions. Just say no, kids.
Right. I mean, my concern and my fear is that this is going to be a blip, a great match, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to really mean a whole hell of a lot. Like, it's not going to be a coming out party like it would be for a Juice or something like that. That's my only concern. But the match itself was fucking tremendous.
I like this match better than the Suzuki one from New Beginning last year. I thought this match for what I want in a pro wrestling match was superior. And this is probably Sonata's most athletic showing to date as well.
Well, they gave the fucker a lot of time, right?
They gave them a little over a half hour.
Yeah, I mean, and you're in the ring with arguably the greatest pro wrestler modern times.
The man.
I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less than I mean.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, we saw Evil back at King of Pro Wrestling have, like, a good match with Okada, but definitely not one of Okada's more memorable title defenses, really. I thought this match blew away that one, I'll tell you that much.
I think it beat it. Yeah, I don't know if it blew it away, but it definitely beat it. I just find it amazing, this unbelievable, remarkable run that Okada is on. Like, I mean, the floor is like 4.5 stars.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, 4.5, 4.25. Yeah, that is the floor.
Are you giving this? What are you giving this?
I'm going to give this at least 4.5. If I'm throwing out ratings.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that is the floor. Every match you're going into it with those expectations, and he delivers every fucking time. What a.
And not only that, Okada tied Yuji Nagata for the second most successful defenses in a single IWGP heavyweight title reign.
Look, I think everybody knows where that's going, right? I mean, they're looking
Okada versus Yuji Nagata, the world title, right? Sumo, is that where we're going? No?
No, silly goose.
Oh, okay.
The narrative, Colin.
There's that word, the narrative.
Yeah. Narrative.
What's the narrative?
You know what else? I'm becoming a little bit of a non fan of.
What's that?
Problematic.
It's a very problematic situation that we're involved in.
The minute I hear problematic, ugh. I don't like words.
we know that,
yeah. Right?
Trust me, we're well aware. So you're saying that this will do something for Sonata in the coming months?
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know. I mean, truthfully, I don't know either. But
that's my concern, that it doesn't.
Did he do enough in this position though? Because I think, I mean, what happens with him in the next 4 to 5 months, I think, was dependent upon his performance in the biggest situation of his career in New Japan, which was this match. So did he do enough?
Yeah, I mean, was there any doubt that he wouldn't be able to do that, though?
I mean, I see. I thought that he did more. I saw more from Sonata in this match than in any other match. I mean, with the one nice touch I really loved was the leg spot with the moonsault.
Yeah,
that felt really real. That felt authentic to me.
I think if you gave anybody, especially him, they gave him an opportunity and he delivered on a big stage. Okay, but what does that mean for him moving forward?
And that spot in particular was something, just an example of something that I never really saw from him before this match. So I think he did pull some tricks out of his hat.
Yes. Okay. And it might very well be the best Sonata match I've ever seen. Period.
Yeah.
It might very well be. I'm really trying to rack my brain and think, okay, did he have a tremendous match in Wrestle One or
All Japan?
I don't think he's had anything that comes close to this. But again, I don't think that's... Here's what needs to happen, Colin. He needs to break out of that Los Ingobernables pack.
And I do think that we will be looking back on this match as maybe the early genesis of building to that. I mean, like, you know, we talk about all the time on this podcast how things mean something in New Japan, and it pays off to be a fan and to pay attention. And because, you know, I absolutely think that this match will come around the bend eventually as something that we can look back on as the genesis of Sonata coming into his own and branching out of LIJ.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
New Japan Cup right around the corner. You know he's going to be in it, right?
Yes.
But I think this loss hurts his chances of winning the New Japan Cup.
I don't think he's winning New Japan Cup.
Right. Me neither.
I have a whole theory on what's going to happen that I can fill you in on.
whole fantasy booking?
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
good.
Naturally.
Okay. But I just think that, I don't know. That's my only concern is, again, I never had a doubt that he couldn't perform and shine on a big stage like he did. And I thought the match was, again, mid to high fours. Right.
And another key feature of a great Okada title match is always the ending sequence, right? There's always that unbelievable ending sequence of
Rainmakers.
Reversals, tombstone reversals, et cetera, and so forth.
Skull ends. Yep.
Yep. Yep. This match had all that and more.
He's the best pro wrestler in our time. He really is. He's an absolute a fucking pleasure and a joy. And Okada's not bad either.
Right. Okada's no slouch himself. So after the match, of course, Okada, you know, retains, and he's kind of giving us a rundown of the rest of the year here, telling us what to expect. Number one, this brings me to the point that I've been clamoring to address on this entire podcast. He announced his intentions to compete in this year's New Japan Cup, something we don't usually see the champion competing in the New Japan Cup. Here's what I think. Are you ready for this?
Okay. Yes, I am. But can I just throw in one sentence?
Please do.
Just because he says he wants to doesn't mean he will.
Right. I mean, we've seen that before. I think Kushida had mentioned he wanted to compete in the G1. You know, we still haven't seen that. But I think that if Okada does end up being in this New Japan Cup, number one, he's not winning. And number two, the winner of the cup will not be challenging for the heavyweight title. I think Okada will be in it. I think that while I don't have a good idea yet of who is going to end up eliminating him, they will get the shot at Sakura Genesis, and the man who does win the New Japan Cup, Tomohiro Ishii, will challenge for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, because that will be the next logical opponent after Suzuki goes through Makabe.
Makes sense.
Does make sense, doesn't it? I thought about this.
Can I throw one monkey wrench in this?
Oh boy, what do you got?
Imagine if Ishii beats Okada.
Yeah.
And gets to the finals, wins the cup, and challenges Okada.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Fine with that? It's fucking great.
At this point, okay, here's my logic with that. I would rather see Ishii go after Suzuki for the IC title, and I'll tell you why. With that match, you genuinely don't know who's going to win. Whereas with the Ishii-Okada match, you know there's no chance in hell Ishii is walking out of there with the heavyweight title. I mean, they certainly, as performers, have the ability to make you think that there's a chance, a la the Sonata match we just saw. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know in your heart of hearts Ishii is not going to be heavyweight champion. Whereas with this potential Suzuki match that I'm fantasy booking here, there's more uncertainty, which is why I'd rather see them go in that direction.
Okay.
Do you feel me on that point?
I do.
You do agree that there's more uncertainty in the Suzuki match.
That Ishii would then have two wins over Okada.
No. I see. I'm saying don't even have Okada. No. Keep them away in the New Japan Cup.
Okay. All right. I'm just. All right.
That's what I'm saying. No. Somebody else defeats Okada is what I'm saying.
All right. Who's that?
I don't know that. I didn't think that through yet. It sure ain't gonna be Mike Elgin. he's got a Zuka to tend to.
He's got a madman on his back. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
And I like your scenario. Don't get me wrong. Is there anybody on this roster, current roster, New Japan, that you see taking Okada's title?
No. Quite frankly, I see Okada going into 2019 as world champion.
Not Kenny Omega?
No.
I think you're right. There's nobody on that roster.
Uh-uh. And not only is there nobody on the roster, there's no reason to, which is what we started off this podcast with. There's no reason to make that switch. There's none.
If it wasn't going to be Naito at the Dome, where arguably he's at his absolute red hot, white hot, as you like to say.
White hot. Jay White hot.
Blue hot. I don't see where they would do it then. You know, unless
you're going to have Okada defend against Omega at a big venue in the States, I don't see any point in having him drop the belt this year.
Who wins G1?
I think Okada might win G1, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Right. I mean, that's way too early.
Maybe these people with the Superman booking have a point. All right.
Maybe. I mean, if that happens, well... Right. I don't know.
I don't know. Right now, I don't see anybody that's...
The only other scenario that I could see going forward is... Naito has the rematch with Okada in Osaka in Osaka Joe Hall at Dominion this year, right? Which will mark the two-year anniversary of Okada defeating Naito for that title. You have Naito get his win back, have Omega win the G1, and then you have Naito Omega Wrestle Kingdom 14.
Right. 13. What about Kota Ibushi? Is he in the mix at all?
Who? No. That's another... I see Kota Ibushi almost as in the Tanahashi role now.
Could be.
I mean, if you're talking Big Four and Tanahashi's not in the mix... Kota Ibushi has to be in that Big Four.
Man. Again, I don't know who right now on that roster is taking the title from Okada.
Oh, speaking of Ibushi, I'll give you want a hot take right now? Quick hot take.
Yeah.
The next time we're going to see Omega versus Ibushi, it's going to be at the Budokan. G1 Finals.
That's a hot take.
Budokan.
Is he allowed in the building?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm giving him access.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to put a Groucho Marx glasses on him? No, that's not Kota Ibushi. That's right. Frank Jones.
Frank Jones. Frank Jones Ibushi.
The Golden Star, Frank Jones.
That's his new name now. Frank.
Frank Jones. I mean, right? That's a lot of talk about him not even being in the building. He's banned.
Because he did a backflip off of a guardrail.
Imagine being banned from a building. Have you ever been banned from a building, Colin?
No. Not yet.
Not yet.
Have you?
I've been banned from a house or two.
Okay.
I think back in the day, I've probably been asked never to return.
Can't imagine why.
I did a moonsault off the kitchen table.
Oh, okay. Like the Blue Meanie used to do.
Yeah, I did a meanie salt. You know, when he first did the first meanie salt, you know where the first meanie salt was found?
HWI.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct.
All right. When is Dave Meltzer going to do the history of HWI and an upcoming Observer issue?
A breaking news hot take HWI.
When's the anniversary coming up for that promotion?
I mean,
when did it open up?
We were in high school, so.
Well, so like the
88, 89. 70s. How fucking dare.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I know you're sensitive about. All right.
All right. So that's that. We love the show. I think we gushed enough. We talked about Tenzan and his toilet habits. We talked about
Taguchi and his ass munching.
Yeah, we covered all bases. Is there anything else that we need to discuss here on this week's New Japan Purecast?
Just really quick, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some of the matches from this New Japan Roadshow. I want you to give me your level of interest.
Sounds good to me. Hit me.
All right. Main event, Shoyo and Okada versus Sanada, Takahashi, and Bushi.
7.
Okay, 7. Yoshihashi and Goto versus Evil and Naito.
Yoshihashi and Goto. I mean, we spent 2 hours talking about these motherfuckers. All right. What is this now?
Yoshihashi and Goto, the Dream Team, taking on Evil and Naito.
6.
Hanare and Makabe versus Yano and Ishii.
Wow. I'll six it.
Kitamura and Tenzan versus Nakanishi and Nagata. I'm at an 8.
At 3.
Gorakan Mask and Tiger Mask and Jushin Thunder Liger versus Taida Heat, Taguchi, and Kushida.
I mean, I'm at an 8 because I don't know what the eight. Yes, I'm at 8. I need to see this in action. Actually, I'm not an 8.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Gorakan Mask before in Super J Cup, I believe.
All right, 5.
Oka versus Yagi.
6.
Umino versus Narita.
6.
Well, that's your card for New Japan Road on Valentine's Day, February 14th, Wednesday, in Okinawa.
That's romantic.
Valentine's Day in Okinawa. That sounds romantic, right?
I guess. All right, Colin. I'm starving.
I'm starving, too. I'm about to order some eggplant parmesan, I think. Damon, well, I think that's the show. We want to thank everyone, as always, for tuning into the New Japan Purocast. NewJapanPurocast.com, VoicesOfWrestling.com. Plenty of ways to listen to us. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher. And guess what, Damon? We are now officially on Spotify.
Nice. All right. I'm a big fan of the Spotify, so that's good news. We can listen to some Duran Duran remixes and then some New Japan Purecast.
So all's good with
some rat. Lay it down.
That's right. Thanks again, folks, for always tuning in. Keep the comments coming in on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Always want to hear what's on your minds. As far as Damon does and I do, as far as everything we talk about here on the show, lots of hot takes on today's episode in particular. I'd like to get everyone's thoughts on. Damon, any final words from you before we send her on home, as they say?
Just a quick note. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. That was very kind of everyone. I got many text messages. No social media mentions because I'm not on anywhere. But again, thank you, everyone. And it was a wonderful time. And we had a Super Bowl celebration, Collins. That was wonderful as well. I know Philadelphia is all happy about that. So,
cool.
Right. No, that's it. I'm done. I'm tired. I need a ham sandwich. Thank you.
Alrighty, so on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next weekend to talk more New Japan and to talk about this New Japan Roadshow. So until then, have a good week. We'll catch you later.